Good morning. That was a good song for the message today. Basically, if you boil it all down, today's message is about learning to trust in Jesus more. That's what this message is about. And so I appreciate that song, whoever picked it out, and for the good singing of it. First, I just want to go back over the purpose. We're going through the book of John. We're on John chapter 11, if you'd like to turn to that, John chapter 11. We're going through the book of John. The purpose of the book, I've tried to repeat this most of the messages, John 20, 30, the purpose is given in the book, in the next to the last chapter, John 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So the purpose of the book of John is so that you'll know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. And by believing, you'll have eternal life. And we're going to see which many consider is the greatest sign in this book today, besides the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So just to review the first six signs, the first one was water into wine in chapter 2, Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana. Healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4. Healing of the paralyzed man in chapter 5. Feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. Walking on water also in chapter 6. And last time, or the time before, we looked at healing of the blind man in chapter 9. I used to be a math teacher, so I used to do this, so I'm going to try it. It may not go that well. Does anybody know the seventh sign? Okay, 4,000. That's not the one I had in mind, but you're probably right. Raising Lazarus from the dead is the one that I have, but I know some people have them different. But John chapter 11, we're going to look at raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus did, people say that he probably raised maybe hundreds of people. But the ones that are recorded are raising of the widow's son in Nain, that's in Luke chapter 7, and then raising of Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. The difference in those two and this one is that they weren't dead for that long. They were still dead and still a miracle. But it was pretty much as soon as they died or within a short hours after that, he raised them to the dead. This one is a little bit different, as we're going to see today. Okay, if you'll look, just turn back a page or look back a page at John chapter 10. I just want to give background verses leading into today's message because it's been about a couple months since I've did the message on John chapter 10. So John 10, 31 through 42. John 10, 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not lawful in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away beyond the Jordan to a place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true." And many believed in him there. And then, so basically, to sum this up, he had healed a blind man, and then he had made a claim that he was the Son of God. The chief priests, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were coming, they wanted to stone him because they were accusing him of blasphemy, claiming that he was the Son of God, being equal with God. And it wasn't time for them to take him and to crucify him. So, as we're going to see later, while he's still got work to do, he's perfectly safe. God the Father, he did God the Father's will, so he was perfectly safe until it was the time to go through of that darkness for you and for me. So he left Jerusalem to get out of that situation, and he went back. I don't know if y'all ever go back home to where you grew up. I grew up about a mile from where I live, so I went by there the other day, and the house is not in as good a shape as it was, so that's the sad part. But just thinking about the memories that I had there with my mom, my dad, my brother, and thinking about all the good times we had there together, I would encourage you to do that, to go back home. Now, this was not Jesus's home where he grew up in Nazareth or where he was born in Bethlehem, but this was up where he started his public ministry, where he got baptized by John the Baptist. And so he chose to go there, and I think we can see the reason here. He went back to where it all started. And in John 1:28, it says, "These things were done in Bethabara." It's technically, literally, Bethany. And I think the King James and the New King James change it to Bethabara because the place where this whole story about today is also called Bethany. I remember one time I was looking up something or got confused on something. I typed in Reidsville to find this place. And I said, that doesn't look right. And it was in Reidsville, Georgia. So there's some times where you have the same town written. And these two towns were about 20 miles apart, these two Bethanies. One was on the east side of in the north, on the east side of the Jordan River. And then the one where Lazarus was, it's right outside of Jerusalem, about 2 miles to the east. So these two Bethanies were about 20 miles apart. But he went back to the one in the north, beyond the Jordan, on the other side. They call it Transjordan, where John was baptized. And the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he went back up to that area where he got baptized. John the Baptist, of course, was not there. He has been beheaded, but he went back to that area to those people. And the people there, it says in verse 41, they came to him, Jesus, and said, John performed no signs. So John the Baptist didn't do any miracles, but all the things that he spoke about this man came true. This man, Jesus, was performing signs, performing miracles. These people knew that, and many believed in him there. So that's kind of the background. He's up in the north. He's gone back to where his public ministry started. So I didn't really have my mind wrapped around this, but we're in chapter 11, and so that's about half the book of John. And this is about the first 32 years and 11 months of his life. The last half of the book of John is about the last month and predominantly the last week of his life. But we're here about a month away from the crucifixion approximately. So that's kind of the background of the story. We're going to go through, there's a lot of verses here, but we're going to go through section at a time and then just go back and go through it. So if you look at John chapter 11, verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed there 2 more days in the place where he was." That might sound strange. He stayed two more days when he found out he was sick. Verse 7, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you and you're going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, and this is one where I wish I could hear him say it, because you could say this in a lot of different ways. Was he being sarcastic? Was he being brave? I'm not sure, but it says, let us also go that we may die with him. Okay, so that's the first section, and this is just the beginning of the story of the death of Lazarus. So if you go back to verse 1, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So we see here that some of the main characters in the story, we have Lazarus, and he's in Bethany, and I told you that's about 2 miles to the southeast of Jerusalem. So right outside of Jerusalem, this is in Judea. So he's going back to a dangerous territory. When he had left there before, they were getting ready to stone him, and he was getting ready to go back in that area, just a couple miles out from Jerusalem. And this is also the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And we're going to get to, I think most of y'all know about Mary and Martha, but we're going to learn more about them as we go through. Verse 2, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil. That's one of the main stories about Mary, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So we see here Lazarus was from Bethany. He was from the town, or he's living in the town of Bethany, which was also Mary and Martha, and they were his sisters. And Dr. Jeff told me this the other day. I'm sorry to hear, I didn't know he was sick again today, but I was texting him. I said, I hope you're feeling better. He said, just pray this is not a sickness unto death. So this reminded me of that when I saw that, Lazarus was sick. And we're going to see the miracle that Jesus performs there. Verse 3, therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And I like this, and a lot of people that I was reading about this said that in our prayer request to make the need known and just leave it. Make the need known, the one whom you love is sick. So they sent a message, and what I got out of this verse was, who did they send the message to? Somebody who could do something about it. They sent it to Jesus. They sent the message to Jesus. And then also, they just told him, this is what, the one whom you love is sick. And I thought it was neat how they said, the one whom you love. The person that's writing this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this, he recorded this. He wasn't jealous and said, well, I'm the only one that Jesus loved. No, he said, he recorded this, that the one whom you love is sick. So Mary and Martha is telling the Lord that Lazarus, the one whom he loved, is sick. And that just reminds me that all the people we prayed for today, as much as we love each one of them, Jesus loves them even more. He loves those people. So when we pray for different ones and ask Jesus to help them, we know that he loves them. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And I've talked about this before, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I just want to, it was real in my life. And the death of Troy and LaDonna, when I got to see Miss Ann, glorify Jesus during that. When I saw recently Mr. Jerry, Arnold's brother, going through that, seeing the family, seeing Ann, and them giving glory to God and knowing that he's with the Lord. They were giving glory to God. So this sickness is not unto death, but it's to give God glory. And the way that God gets glory is when his Son is glorified, like we saw this morning at worship. That's what God the Father wants, is to give glory to his Son. All right, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now I like the way that this is put. Jesus loved Martha and her sister, who's Mary, is not named, but we know that's the one that she's talking about, and Lazarus. And I just thought about that, and I'm not going to do this because my mind's not that good, but I just thought about, this was what came to my mind, the Bullens family and the number of children they have and just how Jesus loves one after another after another after another. He loves all the children. He loves this whole family one by one. So I just want to thank the Lord that he loves us, and he loves this little family in this little town called Bethany. And he loves us little people here in this town of Reedsville. Verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place he was. So this, when you first read this, if you're paying attention to what you're reading, he got a message from people that he loved and people that loved him. And they had seen him heal people in the past, and they wanted him to come quickly and help their brother out. And what did Jesus do? He stayed 2 more days exactly where he was, up in that other Bethany that was about 20 miles away, about a day's journey. So I'll probably get to this again, but it was about a day's journey, about 20 miles. So a messenger, they didn't have texting and phones and things like we did, so they had to send somebody. So it took about a day for them to get the message, and then he stayed 2 more days, so that's 3, and then it'll take them a day to travel from the north to the south to get to where Lazarus was. So that's where the 4 days comes from. So it's believed that when Mary and Martha sent that message, that on the way, while the messenger was taking it, Lazarus died during that time. Like, maybe in a few hours, or I'm not sure exactly when, but during that time, Lazarus was dead. So Jesus was sending a message back that the sickness was not going to be unto death. When they got this message back, he was already dead. So they're thinking, what in the world? He's already dead. You're saying the sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. Son of God may be glorified. So he stayed 2 more days. Verse 7, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. So now he's saying, after staying out of this dangerous area, not that he could have wiped them all out. He could have just frozen all of the chief priests and Pharisees, Sadducees, could have just frozen them and walked right by them. He could have done whatever he decided to do. A lot of times he used his humanity and didn't use his deity. So he went out back to where he started, stayed there 2 extra days, and then he said, now it's time. And it doesn't show here, but he stayed in constant communication with his Father about every decision. And that reminds me that if Jesus, the Son of God, was doing that, how much more do I need to do it before I step out and do something? I need to pray and ask him. So he said, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, in verse 8. Are you going to go there again? So they're concerned. They're saying, why would you do this? Why would you go back into this dangerous area? They just were trying to stone you. Now you're going back to the same area. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. So basically, when you're working, if you're working out in the sun, in the light where you can see, that's considered to be safer. I know every place is not safe today, but normally we think of it's safe in the daytime where you can see what you're doing. Hopefully there won't be any criminals and stuff that are doing it in broad daylight, which I know sometimes that happens, but just in a general principle, it's safer in the day when you're working in the day. When you're working at night, you can stumble and fall, or there's more criminals and stuff at night. So the spiritual thing of this is this. If you are in God's will, nothing's going to happen to you outside His will. So you can just have faith. Jesus knew that He was doing God the Father's will, so He wasn't concerned, wasn't worried about His safety. He knew that God was going to protect Him until it was time for Him to go to the cross. Verse 11, these things He said, and after that He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. So here I thought it was neat that He called him our friend. So Lazarus was a friend of Jesus and the disciples. And He's telling them that he's our friend. We're going to go, and I'm going to go and wake him up. Verse 12, then His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. And like it was, and I'm sure I would have been the same, a lot of times the disciples didn't understand what He was saying at first. He said that he's asleep, I'm going to go wake him up. And they're thinking, well, if he's sleeping, he's resting, he's probably going to be okay. What are you talking about? He's going to get well. Why do we need to do this? So verse 13, Jesus says, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. So verse 14, because they didn't understand, he just came out and said it. And he said, Lazarus is dead. So even though he got the message that he was sick, and he's 20 miles away, Jesus knows that he's already dead. He knows that supernaturally, because the message came that he was sick, but Jesus knows from 20 miles away, he knows everything, that Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and this is what reminded me of the song that we just sang, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And I think what this is saying is not that they didn't believe in him already, but encourage and increase their faith. We were talking about it, 'tis so sweet to trust him, so that they will trust him more, they'll believe in him more and have faith in him. So that's why he's glad that they weren't there, but now that this is going to increase his disciples' faith, and he says, nevertheless, let us go to him. Okay, so that's verse 15. Verse 16, then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, also go, that we may die with him. So we don't know, like I said, exactly how he said it. Let's go, that we may die with him, or let's also go, we may die with him. I've got his back. But one thing I want to give Thomas, he gets a bad rap. We think of him doubting Thomas. One thing I want to speak up for Thomas here is that he was loyal. He was willing to go. Ever how he said it, he was going to go with him. And he was partially right. This started the resurrection of Lazarus led to directly to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So Thomas was right here that Jesus was going to die in the next month because of this. This is really what set it into motion. This raising of Lazarus is what set everything into motion. And Thomas could have easily been killed along with Jesus. Okay, now if we'll look at the next section, verses 17 through 27. The main thing here is the fifth I am statement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Starting with verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And we already talked about that. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. Okay, so going back through these verses, verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So we talked about that. 1 day for the message to get there, 2 days he stayed, and 1 day to walk back. He found him, he's already been dead for 4 days. They had some of the Jews had this belief that the spirit could possibly stay on top, up in maybe in the gravesite for 3 days, and then after 3 days the spirit would leave. That's not biblical, but that's what some of the Jews believe there. So that's why some of them say that the four is important here, that this was a definite. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was dead. There's no chance that he was swooning or that he was asleep, taking a long sleep or anything like that, but he was dead 4 days later. Okay, we talked about Bethany was, verse 18, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. So this is the one, Bethany in the south, on the west side of the Jordan River, just a couple miles away from Jerusalem. There's a lot of things that happen in Bethany, and I don't think I'm going to probably have time to go through it, but the Bethany, right on the outside or right in the corner of Bethany, is where the Mount of Olives is located, and that's where Jesus Christ is going to come back and split it in two. So this is a little bitty town, but there's a lot of things that happen here. This is where Jesus is going to come back and get prepared for his triumphal entry from this little spot right here. So this little town, Bethany, was very important in the biblical narrative. Verse 19, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And this just is, encourages me just the past couple weeks, seeing family and friends here that have come to show their support to Miss Ann and our family, and to Arnold and his family. Just seeing the people come by and tell them how much they love them, that they're praying for them, the people that came to the funeral to show that support. And this reminds me of that, that this is 4 days later, and many Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So this shows that this is probably where we get these practices of going to people's homes, of going to funerals, because we're trying to follow the example set in the Bible. Verse 20, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And just like Thomas sometimes gets maybe a bad rap, sometimes Martha does as well. As Martha was worried about many things and concerned about things, about serving, but her sister Mary was sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus did rebuke her and said, well, Mary picked the best thing. It's not all about going around hurriedly, but the most important thing is sitting at the feet of Jesus and getting to know him. So that was true, but I thought this was, I guess it's the personality. I'm not sure. I would think Mary got the same message, but I don't know this for a fact. But anyway, Martha was the one who went out to meet Jesus. It wasn't Mary. Martha stepped out and went to talk to her Lord and Savior. Verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So this is this increase in the faith, I believe. This is where it is. She knew that if Jesus would have been there before Lazarus died, that Jesus could have healed him. Her faith was that, had grown that far. She had seen Jesus in action. She knew who he was and said, well, I know he's healed the blind man. He's healed the paralyzed man. The hundreds and hundreds of miracles that she probably knew that's not recorded. So she knew that he could do it. So she said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. This verse 22, I'm not exactly sure. It's puzzled me a little bit, so somebody else may can explain it better. But it says, but even now I know that whatever you ask, God will give you. So to me, that seemed like, well, even though he's dead, I know that if you ask God, he will raise him. Okay, but if you go later in the story, it seems like she didn't believe that. So I'm not for sure what she meant here, but maybe that he could console or make something good out of it. But whether she believed he could actually raise her brother from the dead right here, I can't say that for sure. That's this verse, I'm not 100% sure about that. Verse 23, though, makes it, or I thought made it clear. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. He's saying your brother will rise. So he's trying to increase her faith. Your brother's going to rise from the dead. But Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. So maybe her faith wasn't there yet. She's saying, I know that he's going to rise at the end. He believed in you. I know that you're going to raise him from the dead when you come back at the last day. I know that. But she didn't understand about today. And I was reading somewhere, our Savior is not limited by time. He doesn't have to wait to the last day. If it's His will and the Father's will to do it today, He can do it. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And like I said, this is the fifth I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So he's the resurrection. He is. Jesus is the resurrection. He can bring people back. Resurrection, bring them back to life. And then he's the life. He can make them live forever, eternally. He's the resurrection and the life. He's both. He can bring the dead back to life, and then he can make them live forever. I think about this. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that when Jesus comes back for the rapture, the dead in Christ are going to be risen first. So the ones out of the grave, he's going to call them out. He's going to call them out of that grave. That their spirits are already with him, but he's going to call their bodies out to meet their spirits in the air. And then those who are alive, if it's us, many people believe it may be coming up. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But if he does come back and we're alive, the dead will go first, and then we'll go up and meet him in the sky. So there's the resurrection, the people that were in the grave, they're risen, and then the life, the ones that are still alive. We're going to stay alive forever. We won't ever have to go through death if God chooses to send His Son back to get us while we're living. So He is the resurrection of life. Who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's a great promise that we've seen just here recently with Jerry. We know that his spirit is with the Lord. We saw his body placed in that grave, and we know that his body is going to be reunited, glorified body, with his spirit up in between here and heaven where Jesus comes back. So we're looking forward to that day when we meet him in the air. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So whoever lives and believes shall never die. Spiritually, if you're a believer, you're never going to die. If you're born twice, then you only die once. If you're born only once, then you're going to die twice. We're all born physically. We're all born physically. And unless Jesus comes back, we're going to die physically. But if we're saved, if we've been born again, we're never going to die spiritually. We're never going to be separated from God the Father. So you want to make sure you've been born twice, physically and spiritually. And then if you do, you might not die anytime if Jesus comes back first. But for most people in the past, they've died once, but then their spirit went to be with the Lord. And this is the most important question that I think has ever been asked. Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And I think she did believe maybe some before this, but like we're talking about, he's working on her faith. Times are getting ready to get real hard in this next month, and Jesus is trying to increase her faith. And this is what verse 27 says. Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And my prayer this morning is that everyone here, everyone that may be listening, that Jesus is saying, do you believe? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I can raise you from the dead? Do you believe that I can give you life eternal? Basically, do you know who I am? that I'm the Son of God. I have this power. Only the Son of God has this power. And Martha said, yes, I believe. So my prayer is that everyone here has made that decision that you believe that Christ is who he said he was. Okay, so that's the resurrection of life. The next section is 28 through 37. And this is the one that's about Jesus weeping. Jesus weeps. Starting in verse 28. And when he said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And I just thought this, a lot of times I would just read over this, but I thought it was neat that Martha went back to tell her sister and gave this message. Just imagine this. The teacher is calling for you. He's wanting to see you. And I know they had a close relationship, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but for this to be recorded here, the teacher is calling for Mary. He's wanting to develop her faith as well, so he's calling Mary to come out and speak to him. Verse 29, as soon as she heard it, they rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? So we see back in verse 28 that Jesus is calling for Mary to come talk to him. As soon as she heard it, she arose quickly and came. She didn't wait around. Soon as she knew that the teacher, Jesus, wanted to see her, she got up and went. And that reminds me of us. When we are called by the Holy Spirit to do something, to arise quickly and go to him and do what he says. Verse 30, now Jesus had not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. So he was a little bit outside the town of Bethany waiting for Mary. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. So she still had a big group with her. I don't know how many, but there was a group of people there to mourn with her. And we're instructed to mourn with those who are mourning, to be happy with those good things happen. We should be happy. When bad things happen or someone loses someone, we should mourn with them. And that's what was happening here. And they followed her out. They didn't know she was going to see Jesus. They thought she was going out to the tomb. So that just tells you that there's a group. This wasn't done in isolation. There was a group there. And I think we can figure out why Jesus wanted a pretty good group there. Verse 32, then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And we see this with Mary when later on, I think it's in chapter 12, when she goes down on her hands and knees, and that is her position to her Lord and Savior. She had the gift of worship. She was caught up. She was caught up with her Lord and Savior. So when she saw him, she went down to her feet. She just loved him so much. And then she said the same thing that her sister said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. So her faith was limited too. She said, if you would have been here, I know you could have made him well. And I think in these next verses, the humanity of our Lord and Savior comes out. I don't know if you've ever been someplace and like it's like you're okay. You're okay, you held it together, but then what you see someone that you're really close to or is really close to the person that's died, and they come in and they're just in tears, and it just gets to you, and you can't hold it anymore. It just comes out. I think this is maybe part of what's happening here. Therefore, when Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. It upset him. He saw them weeping. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" So he's about to the end of the talking. He's getting ready to do something about it. He doesn't want to see these people that he loves in this pain. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And then he wept. So Jesus is weeping with them. And there's people that are saying that, well, he's not weeping because of the death. He knows that he's going to raise him. That may be true, but I believe that he loved Mary and Martha, and he loved these people. And to see them in pain and crying and upset, I think that his human spirit, we know he's God, all God and all human, but on his human side, he's feeling that pain. He went through the things that we went through. This is where I think that's talking about. He's been through that pain before, and he wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind," that's the last sign that we talked about in chapter 9, this man who healed a blind man, couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? And of course, the answer is yes, he could have done that. So here this section is about Jesus loving Lazarus, yes, Mary and Martha and these other Jewish people here mourning. He wept with them. And then 38 through 44, we see where the action takes place, 38 through 44. 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So back in verse 38, Jesus again was groaning. He was still upset, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Now, some people say, well, couldn't Jesus have rolled away the stone? Yes, he could have just said, "Move," and the stone would have moved away. But I was reading some commentaries in there, and it says, Jesus wants us to do what we can do. And then what we can't do, that's when he shows up and does what we can't do. So he lets us be a part of it. So he told them to roll away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, "Lord, there's a stench." So this is another place where her faith hadn't got there yet. She's saying, "Lord, it's been 4 days. His body's already decomposing. Are you sure you want to do this?" So her faith hadn't got there yet. It was growing, but I don't think she completely understood. So he said back to her, to Martha, said, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So he's getting ready to show her the glory of God because he was getting ready to get glory. Verse 41, then they took the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." So here he starts praying. It shows his dependence on God the Father, shows his unity with God the Father, that he didn't do anything outside his Father's will. And he could have said this silently, but he said it out loud so that the people could hear. He was doing this so that they would believe that he and the Father were one, that the Father sent him. And verse 42, "And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." This is the part here that He's wanting to increase faith and he's wanting to spark faith. Some of these people here probably didn't even believe. So he's reaching the lost, the ones who didn't believe in him, and he strengthened the faith of those who did believe in him but didn't understand completely. Verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Just three words, Lazarus, come forth. And it reminded me, when I was a kid, 12 years old, and I didn't hear it with my ears, but I heard it with my spirit. And Jesus said through his spirit, Todd, come forth. Todd, come forth. He wanted me to know him. And he called me out. I'm thankful for that day. Can remember it, that he called me out and I came to him. In verse 44, and he died, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to loose him and let him go. So he still had the cloth wrapped around him. I'm not sure how he walked, if it was loose enough for him to walk, but however he did, he still had the cloth on him. He still had it around his face. And that was just a further proof that nobody could live 4 days with their mouth all wrapped up. So I think it's just another little indication if anybody had any more doubts. He's been there 4 days. He's been wrapped up. He was dead. And now he is no longer dead. Okay, I'm going to stop right here because I'm not going to have time to go for the rest of it. But the last thing's right here, loose him and let him go. And I just think about when I was called, he called me out of that grave, that death that I was in, that death of sin, separated from God. He called me out and he just told me to loose him. To get rid of that sin, get out of that and just let him go free, that we've got freedom. We have eternal life. And I just thank the Lord this morning for calling me out and for letting me be free and to live in him. I don't do it perfect, and I make a lot of mistakes, but I'm thankful for eternal life, and I'm thankful that he is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this word, your word, about your son. And the question is, do we believe? Do we believe that he has power over death? Does he have power to give eternal life? That he is the resurrection and the life? He asked Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe I have this power? And she said, yes, I believe that you're the Son of God, the one that was sent from God the Father. And I just pray that if anyone here has not made that decision to believe, that today will be the day. And I pray for the ones of us who are like the disciples, like Mary, Martha, Lazarus, we're humans, and sometimes our faith is not as strong as it should be. I pray that you'll help us to look back to this story, that we'll look at stories in our own life on how the way that you've reached out to us and shown us through others, through things that you've done for us, that will increase our faith. And we can say, like we were saying earlier today, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.